It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A global mining company plans to fire 85,000 people worldwide. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. We say global slump in commodities markets over and over, but here's a number that really brings it down to the human level. Anglo American, the huge mining company based in London, said today it's cutting nearly two-thirds of its workforce, 85,000 people. Marketplace's Andy Euler is looking into this. Andy, this is part of a roots to branch overhaul?
Yeah, David, they're essentially trying to figure out a way to weather the storm. I mean, copper is trading at historic lows right now. Anglo had already told us it was going to suspend dividends for about 18 months. Now it's getting rid of some of the things it's doing, which inherently means cutting jobs. Anglo is one of the most diversified mining companies around the globe. We're talking things like iron ore, copper, diamonds, platinum in places like Brazil, South Africa, Canada, all over the place. Anglo's CEO, Mark Cutifani, said today, essentially, if it's not making money, we're going to shut it down.
And it sounds like the job cuts are even greater than the company had expected.
Yeah, about double the number. Right now, Anglo employs about 135,000 workers around the world. This summer, when things started to look bad, Anglo said it would cut a little more than 50,000 jobs. Now it's saying that in a couple of years, that number is going to look more like 100,000 employees. Anglo said it needs to get smaller, calling it a more nimble portfolio move. It wants to be able to move resources around a lot quicker than it's doing right now.
All right. Marketplace's Andy Euler. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, 2 months ago, Rubbermaid and Elmer's Glue merged. Now, Newell Rubbermaid is reportedly in talks to buy Jarden Corporation, which is, in disguise, Mr. Coffee, Sunbeam, Oster, Crock-Pot, Ball Mason Jars, Coleman Camping Stuff, First Alert, Yankee Candle. Essentially, the game is trying to name a brand they don't own. The Wall Street Journal is building this merger story on unnamed sources. Both Newell Rubbermaid and Jarden are each worth something in the $11 billion range. With the Fed's big interest rate decision due in just over a week, there's news today that China's import and export numbers were down again last month. This will be the fifth straight month these have dropped. And that's giving financial market players a fresh reason to worry about the state of the world's economy. Christopher Balding is economics professor at Peking University in Beijing.
These numbers, along with other numbers, basically indicate that the global economy is pretty weak right now. The IMF macro numbers for all the countries in the world indicate that growth is actually down. And the Federal Reserve decision next week is going to be very interesting because a lot of emerging market economies are going to see significant outflows of capital if the Fed decides to raise rates. And China being one of those key economies, it's going to have a lot of pressure placed on the RMB, especially as the RMB has been depreciating and continues to depreciate.
A cheaper Chinese currency would improve China's exports but hurt imports at a time when China's trying to boost the purchasing power of its middle class. There's the human cost of terrorism and the financial cost. Today, Air France KLM said the Paris attacks cost the airline $54 million in November alone and that its business is still suffering now that it is December. That malevolent weasel of a boss could be costing the company money. Marketplace's Sabri Benishor has the latest research.
Some bosses are complete and total jerks, and some of them are bosses because they are complete and total jerks.
You have these toxic assets, you know, these dark side personality characteristics that are toxic when it comes to leading, but helpful when it comes to moving up.
Dr. Tomas Chamorro-Promusic is CEO of Hogan Assessments. It's a consulting firm that helps companies develop talent. He's talking about a host of personality traits: narcissism, Machiavellianism, vindictiveness, manipulativeness.
Narcissists are more likely to attain leadership positions.
That's Emily Grijalva, associate professor at the University at Buffalo. She's talking about a very specific kind of jerk, people with strong narcissistic tendencies.
Many characteristics associated with narcissists Being assertive, dominant, outgoing, those are strongly connected to what we think a leader should be like.
Some people are confident because they're competent. Others are confident because they just think they're God's gift to everybody else. Hard to tell the difference in an interview. By some measures, being a real jerk can come with a cost.
We did a deep dive in the lives of 84 CEOs.
Fred Keel started KRW International. They help develop leadership inside companies. He's also the author of The Return on Character, in which he looks not at narcissism, but at what he calls CEO character.
How you treat other people, that's a reflection of your character.
He came up with this framework of traits, these behavioral indicators.
Such as telling the truth, keeping promises, owning up to your own mistakes.
Forgiving people who made well-intentioned mistakes. There are 25 of these things. When he put them all together,
high character leaders and their teams brought in nearly five times the return on assets to the bottom line, as did the low character CEOs in our study, who we called the self-focused CEOs.
This makes sense, really. Having a mean, cruel, or otherwise poor character boss makes people miserable. They don't go the extra mile. They leave.
CEO behavior ultimately has a rather dramatic impact on organizations.
Murray Barrick is head of the Center for Human Resource Management at Texas A&M. CEOs with poor character often hire top managers that are like them. They set the way things are done, how people are treated, and it all propagates.
There's kind of a cumulative drain.
Now, two things to point out. First of all, some jerk bosses are not really jerks. They may just not realize how they're coming off, or they have bad habits.
A habit, by definition, is something you're unaware of showing.
This is Fred Keel again.
And once managers and CEOs and their teams can see that, they're often horrified.
So he says some people can change. Just hope your boss is one of them. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
And if you are a malevolent weasel boss, then we're not sorry we called you that, nor will we offer you equal time. From studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.